Don't brass stocks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, I want to. In fact, I'm not sure if the Minister of Tourism is a war to the frontline workers or the only one that the government would be putting out. If that's the only one, I agree with Mr. Murray entirely on that matter. Mm. I'm not sure if they have others in the pipeline, but I don't think that's a good one. Mm. Unless they have others to come.
Okay.
I think there should be a more. It should be. I agree with Mr. Murray entirely. It don't matter, right? Mm. Now, listening to Brandstock Sunday, gave Barbadians another opportunity to see the DLP members and supporters. I don't know, perform or not perform, whatever the case is. But I will say something. Two things came out strongly in that, in Sunday Brandstock. Either the members really don't understand the out of their debt, the whole thing running Barbados out of their debt, or rather, to know they like they don't believe they have a responsibility for Barbados being in position. I'm not talking about the COVID incident, but prior to the COVID, if they have a responsibility to the position Barbados have found itself in. Miss McLean broke a record that last Sunday. I never heard her on the brass stats for around so long yet. But strangely enough, she was attempting to ask everybody questions. Miss McLean was a minister for 10 years. Nobody could get her to answer anything regarding her ministry in that 10-year period. No one. Mr. Pizza also said that COVID had forced this government to think about agriculture. Then they went on to mention about issues about the catastrophe fund and debt and selling home workers and all other things. I'm saying to you, right? They either were living on the rock. They don't believe they were the government just more than 23 months ago. They didn't release all of the issues that they come back up. They're talking about a catastrophe fund. Really? That Thomas hit Barbados in 2010. They had a catastrophe fund in place, and that inept government was only able to repair 181 of the 2,000 claims for house repairs. 181 out of a total of 2,000. They should not be talking about the catastrophe fund right now. You understand? They sure they did not perform with it and squandered the idea. Now, I wanted to call Sunday, but then after Dr. Masco answered and said when he talked about the said fund, when he's explaining for the fund, the program come and went, and I don't think they understand a single thing he said then. Mm-hmm. Now, he was saying, if they use the current administration, use the catastrophe fund now to help pay short the NIS. Now, the debt restructuring that Barbados had recently gave us the elbow room and the funds for any, because they were like elderly. He even sent in a message, we can't call none of them, Professor Howard, Jeremy Stevens, Joseph Adderley, none of them, they're afraid to call him Dr. Masco, the texting or whatever. No, you would have, any catastrophe coming to Barbados would give this government 2 years free before that they could pay the bills or the debts, it doesn't matter. So they would have got the funds there, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what, the most significant things, what I would like to talk about, when she spoke about that the COVID-19 forced the government to go to agriculture. 5 years ago, ever since Dr. Mass was at that forum too, on the 24th of November 2015, right? The then opposition leader, Ms. Motley, addressed the BCCI luncheon. Motley said that a revamped agriculture program, job creation, and improvement of business facilitation are all part of all proposals at the incoming BLP government. This is 2015. Also in the 2018 BLP manifesto, they had about four instances where they mentioned about revamping agriculture and things like that. So I don't understand where these people were living. And how can you even raise some of those issues about debt? How can they raise those sort of issues? They were responsible for the position Barb was saying before, prior to 2018. They could talk about it, but they don't believe that they were responsible. They were responsible for all of this, all the things that were happening. You know, good thing, I believe the Lord had a hand in the last election. Just imagine.
Arguably, he had a hand in every election.
Well, this one in particular.
This one more so than others.
Yeah, you can imagine that he is. He's still in office.
So God is a bee.
He's a good God. He's a good God.
Or she is a good God.
well, God is a good God, right? Could you imagine that these men didn't have the foreign exchange? Like you had, they had garbage trucks, particular. You could imagine garbage pilot that we had before COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, it's a situation where the opposition has to say something, and I guess they've taken a position, an adversarial position in this regard. I didn't listen to the exchange on Sunday, sadly, but I understood that the catastrophe fund issue was a particularly contentious one. I'll listen to the tape and see next week. Maybe I can comment on it. All right, sir. Thank you for calling. We're on the Rastax, 4341790. Morning, Peter. You studied politics. You have a certified paper from an institution where you studied. I never went to an institution to study politics. That means I should not be heard. I don't know where that gentleman would get that view from. I made the point that, like an engineer, I studied politics. And often it is frustrating where you are offering what is called an evidence-based approach, while someone who is not offering an evidence-based approach attempts to contradict you and said that your opinion is irrelevant. Kind of makes you wonder why you even studied. I never said that anyone should not offer an opinion. Don DeBrass Stacks, good afternoon. Good morning, sorry.
Hello?
Hey, morning. You're on the air.
Hi, morning.
Morning.
First thing first, let me just thank you all guys because I was real anxious when I first called, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
you're a first-time caller?
Yes, sir.
Okay, welcome to the program, sir.
Man, thank you for being on the program from 23 years old. It's 30 now, but mm-hmm. I don't get the seal to call and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
All right, my points. First thing first, I want to thank y'all. Secondly, I want to thank the Prime Minister, the Honorable, yeah, for the flyers, because COVID keep me, we had to be together, family, what's not, what's worth, it show you, or show us, like, who for you and who against it, you understand? For me personally, it draw me closer to my animals, so
mm-hmm.
I get a better understanding of myself, because normally I'll be on the hill all night with them. So I just hold on and take a little break so I can speak. The next point, the next point I want to get at, the main factor is the agriculture is something that we need. I was thinking about it because when I'm watching sheep, if I'm carving or something that I newly developed, if I'm carving or I'm reading a book, I'm just watching sheep. So I end up cutting out a little bush and what's not, what's worth on the hill. Get a better view, the horizon and what's not. Anyway, I'd like to ask me to hear me out. True, the fact is that we, in these times, it ain't only Barbados or the Caribbean that really in this crisis is the entire world. Yes, about the fact about the marijuana. Everybody, if you grow marijuana now, the hustlers can go hard, and because, as you said earlier, the price is going to cut, which is true, right? In order, people nowadays don't like hardware as we know it, but they love marijuana. If she does bring it to some factor, or she decide that she can legalize it, well, in small amounts, or well, not legalize, but you know what I mean. Anyway, these people will operate for, you understand what I mean? If them growing it, well, she could use it as an opportunity to get them to grow food stuff for the island. Not only the island, but I was thinking more about exporting the product, not only Barbados, but the entire CARICOM. So the fact is that the big countries now, as you heard that, the WASP and what's not, start to lick up in the States or whatever, killing the bees, honeybees, whatever. No pollination ain't going to happen up there in a time soon, if it continues. So we could export up there. But by boat, it's going to be a tech too long. If you could get a plane, you could get your stuff up there immediately, as fast. You always decide about whatever. According to the guy with the wells, if we're talking about the wells now, we want to dig these wells. The water now, you got to get pumps, you got to get workers to work these, to get these lines in order. And all this is more money that got to spend, right? So, like, you can't really concentrate on that. We need to concentrate on the debt that we got, that we need to get. We need to find out a way that we need to get this debt off here so we can free up. Because from my own experiences, as I don't really work no way, that's why I'd be so humble and thank my mother, my parents, and my family, and everybody from my village, because they just helped me by giving me a little work and what's not, what's worth. I able to live a happy, peaceful life, right?
You say you don't work anywhere, but clearly you have an interest in agriculture. You say you do what, sheep farming?
Well, it's crossbreed goat, sheep. We call it geep. Mm. Right, black belly geek. You know,
you raise livestock.
Yes, sir. Right. And so, plus, though, around me is in the countryside. You know, mm-hmm. between Pori Spring and Canfield and Ericott. Mm-hmm. So, you got banana trees, pear trees, all them sort of stuff around me. So, it's food always there. Plus, okay. My uncle John, he just do his little thing when he ready. Mm-hmm. Right, my auntie Verna, what's not what's worth. It's a family. You know what I mean? So everything, they got food there. So I really got that much to worry about food-wise. My mother providing shelter for me. As I tell you, know, the Bible, many people don't believe in it, but it's things in the Bible that you still need to...
Many people do believe in it.
And many people do believe, and many people don't believe.
There are fewer people who don't, but yes, I agree, many people who do. More importantly, though, sir, so coming out of this crisis, what is your game plan in terms of the next few years? Do you plan to formalize your work in agriculture? Do you plan to get more involved? Because I imagine that the situation where you're dependent on relatives is not one you would want to continue indefinitely.
Never, never, ever. I have a son, so it'd be fairly hard.
So what is your game plan going forward?
My game plan is to elevate, you know, mm-hmm. boost the farming a little bit, my sheep. Then mm-hmm. maybe I could go into rabbits. But the whole game is that, like, I've been doing the work. People have been seeing me doing the work. So, and people seeing me doing the work, people be saying, that man does work hard. Mm-hmm. And not really, it's work hard, it does work out, because I see it as exercise. Mm-hmm. You get where I'm coming from? Because I see no hole there, watching sheep in there mm-hmm. to do really, you know. But watch sheep, mm-hmm. talk the dogs or the teeth from coming about the place. You understand? So I had to end up doing a little fitness to protect myself just in case. You understand? Mm-hmm. I don't deal with guns or nothing, so not saying okay. that I can't shoot, but in my vibe or nothing, so I'm more peaceful, right? So, like, the people around my neighborhood is who provide work for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work at home. Literally work at home.
Yeah, okay.
The sheep is my job, mm-hmm. and the people give me money, like, you know, normal, they spare to clean it or mm-hmm. something. Handyman, mm-hmm. it runs in the family. It's a blood thing.
All
right. So I just do it. But for the future, as you asked me before, is sheep, rabbits, more vegetation. But it's just the money low right now. Imagine if I had money, my neighborhood won't be lacking a thing. But as I said, many people see people doing these things. This is where that they just pull up them socks and do for themselves as well. The next point I want to get to these Bajans, to us, you understand? It is like, we need to start from depending on certain people and try to look for things for ourselves. This is a lesson that Corona teach me, meaning that it put me in a state that I had to do certain things for myself to see the bigger picture. Because if I didn't do it for myself, I wouldn't be able to speak to y'all right now, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, you got to be dependent on yourself and focus. That's the number one key. Focus and keep focus.
Okay.
And that's about it for me, you know? Oh, yeah, Cynthia Ford. I would like to thank her, too.
Okay.
She's a good friend of the family, mm-hmm. and she done well for we neighborhood, in a sense, because we got a community group center there, mm-hmm. a host community group, but it ain't operation as yet. I try to organize the fellas, you know, taking time. So I had to separate myself get to know myself a little more so I could go back and put a start out there.
Okay.
So that I will get you the help.
All right, sir. Thank you again for calling, and I'm hoping that this will not be the last time you call, that you call the program again and you made a contribution, and I would encourage you to continue in your work, as you call it, a handyman, but certainly your work in agriculture on a broader scale. All right, thanks a lot for calling, and wishing you all the best as you and everyone else in Barbados tries to pull our lives back together after this COVID issue. The gentleman is saying, regarding the aquifers, aren't there aquifers on this island? And to hear some saying that there's some places that have their own wells, as if the water is not coming from this island, but coming from St. Lucia. Like how some hotels have its own well, is there not water coming also from our aquifer? And that's exactly the point that I was making. My limited understanding of the whole thing is that aquifers are basically like caves where water collects in the sediment, the hard rock, and it is stored there. And in many instances, you have a fairly large aquifer, and you have several wells that are tapping into the same aquifer, which essentially seems to be what you're saying. My point that I was trying to make to this other gentleman is that if you have a large aquifer and you have several wells which are fed from that aquifer, ultimately you can drill more wells or you can use wells, but ultimately if you have a low level of water in the aquifer, you are going to have challenges in terms of water resources. And what has been explained to me from the Water Authority is that the levels of water in the aquifer is at a historic low because the aquifers are fed by rainwater. So if nothing is coming in, then there's nothing coming out. So if you go back to an old well that is disused and you attempt to suck water from that well, you're going to have the same challenge because that well is tapping into an aquifer that you are probably tapping into somewhere else. So I think what you have done, what Sapa is expressed, the view that I was trying awkwardly to express to the gentleman on the radio just now, which he is not convinced because he is of the opinion that it doesn't work that way. But maybe I have it wrong. Perhaps. Dr. Brastax, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Brastax.
Good morning, Peter.
Hi, morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing okay.
Good.
I'm calling to critique the representative of the RBPF who is normally on the OB stations on morning. Before you speak, though, I think it's only fair for me to say this. There's nothing personal, and also that I'm a big supporter of the our police force. I think they're one of the world.
No problem. You don't have to preface it. What's your concern about him?
Okay. No, I think too often he gets involved in giving his opinion of interpretation of regulations or directives that might come from above. And then he confuses people sometimes. He has to come back on and correct himself. And I think he should stick to just, I mean, when you're a PRO, you're giving the views and the opinions of the organization, not your opinions. And I think too often he gives his opinions. Now, this morning, he spoke about, he was mentioning the amount of cars on the road, and he referenced the fact that it was the day for the elderly and
I know, but what did he say?
He's sure that there are not so many elderly and handicapped in Barbados. We never did mention that several businesses have reopened and that people can go to the beach. So, I mean, but the one that really had me this morning was he made a remark which I think was really uncalled for. He was referencing, I believe, a photograph that was in the newspapers showing two ladies consoling each other at Bathsheba when the body of the young man was recovered. And I think that remark that he made was really out of place and should apologize, really.
The gentleman is in a role where he is a responsible member of the police force that is tapped with the responsibility of, or assigned the responsibility of, commenting on the management of our road traffic regulations on a daily basis. So he's in a capacity to offer an opinion, and I think that really is his job. The extent to which you may disagree with some of the opinions that he offers is you know, not unreasonable. The first point you made about his concerns about traffic on the road, Dzar has made similar points. And I am on your side in this regard, because I think that both Dzar and this gentleman need to understand that if you open construction, the people who work in construction have to get to work. People who are feeding construction, which is providing food for the construction workers, providing the necessary equipment, the rentals, the hardware that they need to use, people who are working in mining to provide the sand and the blocks for construction workers, they all have to get to work. When you open some aspect of business activity in Barbados, it has to be fed. And once you have that being fed, there's going to be traffic on the road. I've been making the point that if you say the nurses and doctors are essential services, people who work with refuse collection, they are essential services. People who work in cleaning, they are essential services. Once you have to feed that production, in when I say feed it, not just by food, but feeding it in a tangible sense, you will have a certain amount of congestion and traffic, and it's something you can't get away from. So I'm with you on that one. The other issue as to this idea of social distancing, and he's suggesting that social distancing should have precluded people embracing each other in a situation like that?
Yes. Yeah. I think he was, because immediately leading into his comment, was referencing like at the beach where there were groups of people, like maybe 3 and 4 people, but they were the same family.
Yeah.
Therefore, it didn't really come into play. And then he jumped straight into this.
That's hard. That's hard because as much as you want to social distance in a situation where you believe that someone needs emotional support, it's hard for you to stand there and not give that person support, you know?
Yeah.
So as it was a female police officer that was providing the support?
No, if you look at it, yes, I think it was yesterday. You would see ladies embracing at the scene, at the site, after the body was...
That's hard. I can't give them wrong, because were I in that situation, I don't know what I would do. And I can't say that, you know, the principle of social distance is an important one, but when you see someone having received the kind of news that she's received, and you are familiar with the person, or alternatively, you may just be a compassionate shoulder, you will provide it, and that's it. So I find that's a hard one to enforce. I mean, we all appreciate that we have laws and rules and regulations, but we also got to be reasonable in terms of the enforcement of those regulations. You know, I have to admit to you that I am not a huge fan of the way in which the enforcement was pursued in Barbados. I am also fully aware that we tend to be a type of a law and order society where the police feel that you get more out of people by prohibiting them from doing things than by relying on their capacity to regulate themselves. That's probably the best way that I can put it. But this is a long-standing issue I've had with us in Barbados and the way that we do things. So, you know, the feeling that you can shut down a fete at a particular time, as opposed to telling me that you need to have the necessary resources to ensure that people can fete to whatever hour, and, you know, let's do it that way. So if you have an issue with resources, you know, deal with your resource challenge to allow me to have fete when I want to. The idea of having 4 day morning the same night as finals because you have resource difficulties, you know, that's not my problem. You just get the resources that you need to be able to have the two events. And if you get the point that I am making, and I think that this gentleman's attitude is reflective of one which our disciplined forces seem to adhere to, that says, you know, I can have a rule, as ridiculous as it might seem, and you should follow that rule just because it's a rule. And I am with you, sir, in that I'm not comfortable with the idea that, you know, you can ignore human nature and just say, well, let's just follow the rule. I mean, somebody dead, the gentleman drowned, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. It's real hard. And I mean, that person, was she a mother?
I believe one was the mother and then a near relative.
No, it's hard. It's hard to be in that situation and not provide support. All right, sir. So thank you for your call and for raising those concerns. I don't know whether the gentleman listens to the program, the traffic report, whether he listens to the program and he would have heard you. But the comments are well taken by me, at least. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Donna Brastax, good morning. Good morning. Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm finding yourself.
Okay. I'm good.
Yeah, Peter.
I'm blessed.
Nice to hear that. A number of issues have been occupying my mind recently. Mm-hmm. And what I've done, I've put a few questions together I'd like to ask you and hope to get some enlightening responses.
Your questions that I can answer?
Well, I would hope so. I would certainly hope so. But just briefly, I just would like to touch briefly on Mr. Sanka Price as a moderator. Mm. Sanka is actually one of my favorite moderators, you know. There's something about his demeanor that I just like. I like his tone and his manner. But quite frankly, he disappointed me on Sunday. And I have to support the gentleman who calls Mr. Straker's tenantry, his suggestion, that maybe Sanka should pay a bit more attention to switching off his microphone to conceal his sniggers and obvious impatience. He disappointed me on Sunday. I'll leave that there.
It's best to leave it there. I ain't commenting on it. It's Sanka. Sanka will comment on that himself.
Fair enough.
You don't hear my sniggers sometimes?
Well, I know you've been advised by management to don't stoop at the callers.
But Sanhiz is stoops because Sanhiz is hard not to stoops.
Anyway, I hope you don't stoop too loudly at me today.
Probably not.
Okay. Tell me something. Do you have caller ID on your calling lines? When someone calls?
We don't know.
Okay. All right.
We have no way of knowing who you are until we hear your voice.
Thank you.
Well, you feel that somebody been blocking you?
No, it's just a matter that I want to clear it in my mind. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Peter, your fellow moderator, Corey Collimer, cited a statistic last week which indicated that...
But I understand why you call it. If you got issues with Corey and Sanka, call them.
No, I'm not dealing with... He gave a statistic which said that blacks comprise around 95% of the population in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to ask you is, with such overwhelming numbers, do you think that blacks own and control a fair proportion of the business and financial life of the country? That's one question.
I do believe so, yes.
You think we do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have found that in countries where blacks are in the minority, Germany, India, China, and so on, blacks have practically no economic or financial clout. But I have discovered that in countries where we are in the majority, like South Africa, Jamaica, well, my opinion, Barbados as well, mm-hmm. that you still find ethnic minorities wielding substantial mm-hmm. financial and economic power. What do you think that
we've known that for a long time.
But what do you think is the reason for that?
I know. What I can say is I think it's our fault.
Okay. I remember Professor Hilary Beckles referring to what he called the phenomenon of intergenerational trauma in the context of... Well, you've heard of psychological damage and deficiency displayed by blacks in the post-slavery and post-colonization, post-colonial era. Do you think that that level of self-contempt and so on, and apparent difficulty to cooperate and work together, like other ethnic groups do, is one of the unfortunate legacies of that intergenerational damage that Professor Beckles spoke of?
That can be one of the points, and I don't disagree with you. My broader view on it is that we have, black people, have shown a natural disinclination towards the particular type of business activity. And one can argue that's also an offshoot of slavery, in that we are more comfortable working in the public service, and, you know, working in the public service has a safety and a security, but you will never control the commanding heights of the economy that way. And, you know, I always talk about my own experience and the fact that my parents, and certainly on my mother's side, her family was strongly of the opinion that I should get into the public service, because their feeling was that that's the most secure way you could go.
Okay.
My father was in business, but he too was happier when I was working for the University of the West Indies. And the feeling is that once you're working in an institution, you're better that way. And I think it has a lot to do with a conservatism that plagues black people. It seems to plague us more than the other minorities, like the certainly the Indians, Indo-Barbadians, and the Anglo-Barbadians.
Okay.
Yes, sir, you were saying.
Yes, sir, Peter. Well, just a comment there before I go to my other three or four questions. The fact that you said that your parents appeared to be more comfortable with you taking what they would consider to be a more secure position, maybe at the university or the public service. Well, I am suggesting that that is all perhaps part of the psyche of a lack of self-confidence, which can be traced back in my opinion to the same damage that the professor was spoken of. So when, as a people, you lack that sense of self-esteem, that sense of isat, that sense of cohesion and working together, it shows up in all aspects of your life, including the sort of jobs that you, the sort of ventures you would take in life and in business, right? But the other question I have for you, Peter.
Yeah, and you got to finish that statement because it shows up on the kind of ventures, the kind of jobs you take in your life. With that in mind, can we then blame anyone other than ourselves for the fact that we are 95% of the population and we do not own 95% of the wealth?
Well, I would respond by saying, I'm not saying that we necessarily should own 95%.
Or that we don't even own 50%?
A fair percent. No, I would say in terms of blame, I would just rest the word blame aside. The fact is that it is known that certain types of behaviors are what they call self-perpetuating. And if certain damage is inflicted on a human being, or indeed even an animal, a dog, for example, and there isn't the necessary corrective measures put in place, that can be transferred almost indefinitely.
But how can you correct a culture, sir, that is deeply ingrained?
Right, it ain't easy. I heard some guys.
It's difficult to do.
It's difficult, but that does not mean you should not attempt it, and you should not here and there even critique and indeed criticize. I mean, criticism is one of the healthiest things you can do to a person who's been doing what is right for themselves.
When you are faced with a crisis like this, okay, all of these small business people that, you know, are making a living, people who bring in clothes from the States and sell, people who selling food to people like in construction, that whole generation of those people, a lot of them have been wiped out, right? People who work for government pushing paper in an office in an environment which is largely unproductive, are going to watch people like that and say, you see what I should do, let me get a job in the service.
Well, I can understand, but you know better than I do that this COVID-19 is a very special situation.
It's a leveler, but the point I'm making is that it still gives people who are working in government, and I do feel that historically there has been this presumption that it's a better thing to do. It gives them the right to now say that they did the right thing because they are securely employed still, while a lot of people who were out there trying to build capital for themselves did the wrong thing because now they are the ones that are facing the... And I can tell you, sir, working for yourself, you take some lashes and knocks that you would not take if you're working for someone else.
I know.
And I find that many people are not understanding of it and not understanding of the kind of knocks that you take. So... I get it entirely, and I think that there is a conservatism that plagues us, black people. A lot of it is born of history and our disinclination towards particular types of work, but a lot of it is a more recent culture where we see a safety and a security, especially in working for somebody else.
Right, but Peter, you also have to look at, you mentioned earlier the fact that you will probably not control the dizzying heights of economic
power.
There
we go. And we got to live with that part too.
You need to bear in mind, I mean, when you see people who can hardly speak your English employing you, I mean, you kind of wonder, right? But there's another question I want to pose to you, and I'm very curious about it, right? Do you think that the worldwide phenomenon of Negro women apparently despising and rejecting their own natural eulotricus hair and clamoring instead for these demotricus hairs harvested off other heads is another disturbing symptom.
I love your language. Can you repeat that? The Solocritus hair?
The kind of
I know what you mean. But we've had this conversation before, sir. We have, and I agree with you entirely that part of it is a rejection of their image that they think is inappropriate. But I think that rejection is also born of many, many years of brainwashing that in order for hair to look good, it had to be straight.
Precisely, yeah.
But I get the impression that we're past it. And this is an issue where I want to say that the cup is more than half full. I would say the cup is three quarters full.
So because...
the growing industry now is ultimately, it's not really the weave, it is the locks and the natural hair. The natural hair industry has grown phenomenally. Right. You don't think so?
We're making some progress, but I think we still have a far way to go. So you would
agree
that Miss Verla de Pisa has beautiful hair. Thank you. And so does Miss Marcia Cattle. Let me get my next question, Peter. Do you think that the...
But Verla's is natural?
Yes, as far as I know, yeah.
No, I think Verla's is straightened.
I don't think so, but we would not go with that right now.
No, but I know that Marcia's is natural.
Yes, I'm beautiful.
But you also know that Marcia's hair is controversial, as is Prime Minister Motley's, as is Liz Thompson's.
Right.
There's been a lot of controversy about their hair.
More controversial than Martin Luther King.
There you go.
Galvanizing the black Americans to boycott the bus companies in Atlanta.
But controversy is good. So
thank you.
I would say to them, wear the hair and it will break down some barriers. Mine can be controversial just now too, because I can't get to go to a barber. I ain't lucky that Dennis, that my hair won't grow.
My cut your hair yourself, man. I'll grow a lot. Peter, do you think that the 95% of the black demographic have a legitimate right to press for greater enfranchisement, economic enfranchisement in our country?
So we have a right to press for greater enfranchisement in situations where we do not willingly surrender that role. We cannot continue to press for work in the public service and to work for Shafet and to work for KFC. And we cannot continue to press for this type of employment and then claim that we want to be in control of the commanding heights. To me, the two don't work hand in hand.
True.
So if you're going to say, I'm going to spend my life working in the public service in a clerical position behind a desk, then don't complain about the fact that somebody who has gone into business and taken risks has generated a lot of money.
Okay.
So we have the right to complain if we are not prepared ourselves to go there and take that risk.
Fair enough. But in, do you think that in cases where blacks actually do make the effort, and this, I know this happens in some cases, and they come against some very reactionary opposition, what do you think of the idea of blacks leveraging our numbers to be more prudent and selective in how we spend our pennies?
I don't know. I think a lot of that has done already. One of the points that Liz Thompson was making at her, she did a lecture recently on International Women's Day. There are a hell of a lot of black business people in Barbados that have done extremely well. Extremely. There's a hell of a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, this entity that we are in today is controlled by the Nation Group originally. And right. That was an exemplar of black business.
Mm-hmm. But relatively few.
Or brown skin business, whichever you call it.
Right.
But not very few. I think that there are a lot more than you may realize, because over the years, there are a lot of Barbadian, black Barbadians who have done extremely well in business. I can't call names necessarily, no, but there are a lot of them out there. And their client base, a lot of them is largely Afro-Barbadian, you know.
Right.
Anyhow,
right.
Final word from you, sir. We're going to have to run to the commercials.
Oh, Lord. But let me, since you cut me, show me, do you think that Barbados can be a truly democratic society with the current archaic and repressive defamation legislation we have?
That's a longer conversation, sir. That's a longer conversation. The defamation laws have been the subject of much concern, especially for us in this, that have felt the pinch of them from time to time. Maybe you and I can continue this conversation next week, and we can perhaps look at that issue. But I think the broader point you made is an important one in terms of enfranchisement. Happy to chat with you.